Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the You Should Run podcast. I'm your host, Tony Heil, council member in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania, which is nestled between King of Prussia and Norristown, just a little bit northwest of Philadelphia. While I am from Philadelphia, I live in Philadelphia. I'm from Pittsburgh originally, so I'm very excited today to talk with Antonio Brown. Everyone knows that he's a terrific... Oh, wait, this is Antonio Brown, the city council member from Atlanta, Georgia. That's the purpose of this podcast. So, Atlanta, is for anyone who knows, is known for its culture, it's known for its food, it's known for its music, it's known for being just an amazing city that everyone should go to at least once. I've only been there for a few minutes, and it's still... left an impression. It's also where Goldberg defeated Hulk Hogan for the WCW title in 1998, which I'm sure is the most famous thing about it. But Antonio Brown is making Atlanta famous in some new ways as a newly elected city council member, a young person running and bring a lot of ideas. So Antonio, thank you for coming on to our podcast.
No, thank you so much for having me. I mean, it's a privilege to be on here and just speak about the great work we're doing here in the city of Atlanta.
And so tell me about Atlanta, because I know that Atlanta's famous for so many things. Like I said, so many positive things. But what do people not know about Atlanta that you want to make sure people know about?
Well, you know, I believe Atlanta, for me, is a melting pot of diversity. It's a melting pot of entrepreneurs, creatives. I believe Atlanta is an outlet for creatives to be able to come and express themselves and be able to live vicariously through their dreams and really do something great. We have so many folks that come from Atlanta that have done great things in this country, let alone the city. This is the hub for the civil rights movement. And, you know, it's just an incredible place to be right now, especially the way things are shifting in this city when it comes to politics, the way things are shifting in this city when it comes to entrepreneurs and small business owners. I mean, it's just an incredible opportunity to be in this city now.
And I'm really glad that it's a place of opportunity and that it's continuing to move in a positive direction. You know, Georgia was so in the national spotlight last year with the governor's race. You got elected this year, correct?
Correct.
But it must have been really cool to you as someone involved in politics anyway to see Stacey Abrams and see that, you know, the country was watching and saying, hey, Georgia's not what we thought it was, right?
No, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because many who may not be familiar with my story, I grew up Jehovah's Witness most of my life, and I never partook in politics. It was against our religion to partake in the political process. So the first two people that I've ever voted for in my life was Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms and Stacey Abrams. And it was a huge... You know, for me, it was a huge lift just to step outside of my faith and really do in my heart what I felt was the right thing to do. So it is, again, another reason why I feel like it's such a great time to be in the city of Atlanta and the folks here that are contributing to this movement that I believe is happening all over our country, but specifically in the city of Atlanta. I just think it's incredible.
And so what kind of got you then to be politically engaged? Have you always, even if you weren't running for office, were you always politically aware and engaged? Like, and especially with your background, you are a young person of color, and, you know, I feel like in that respect, your life is political even if you don't want it to be. Is that fair?
No, I feel like that's pretty fair to say. It's interesting. I've always followed politics even when I did not engage in politics. I've always been one to keep up with what was happening. And for me, what really caused me to step outside of my faith and actually run for city council was you know, I remember having a conversation with my mother, and I told her, you know, Jehovah Witnesses could no longer remain in the shadows as innocent people are hurt around us, and that we have a relentless responsibility to our brothers and our sisters. And if I could step into this role as a city councilman and affect change that could help make their lives better, then why wouldn't I do it? And that's kind of what brought me to running for Atlanta City Council.
And I think that's hopefully what we can try and encourage through this podcast, through the YEO network, which I know you're a part of now, the Young Elected Officials. But why did you want to affect change on Atlanta City Council? You're talking about Atlanta's great. It's moving in good and a lot of really positive progress. So what was the change that you saw needed to happen? And why did you think that you may be the kind of person that could affect that change?
Well, you know, for me, this was, you know, I was truly led by my spirit. I never had any interest in running for city council. I remember when it was first brought to my attention to run, I said no. And I spoke with my mother about it, and she said, hey, you should pray on it. And I remember I prayed on it, and the next day I received another phone call asking me to run again from someone else, and then I said no. And then that's when I started thinking about what I just mentioned, about the fact that we had to, you know, step outside of the shadows and really do something. And, you know, for me, you know, Atlanta is such a great city, and I feel like many other cities, it's still challenged with this status quo that seems to be making the decisions. And there's very few people that are willing to challenge that status quo and be a divergent or a disruptor, to see things differently than how they've been seen for so long in our city government, and not just the city of Atlanta, but city governments all over the United States, right? And I think that's the power we have as individuals that are fresh to this political environment and landscape, and really being able to offer a different perspective, you know, to see things differently. And for me, that's what the city seemed to be missing. It was, you know, for me, I see so much fear built in to politics in this city, and that fear, you know, it's filled with this like sense of establishment that's been around for so long, that has done things a certain kind of way for so long, and no one really being willing to challenge that, mm-hmm. at least in my district. So I knew that I was beholden to no one. And I also knew that I didn't grow up in this arena of politics. You know, I cared about putting the people first, people over politics. I understood from growing up in poverty the importance of us not criminalizing poverty. You know, the ability to remove the systemic barriers that institutionally have been designed to keep us suppressed. You know, those were things that I felt, you know, within my spirit led me to running for Atlanta City Council and believing that I could truly affect change in this great city.
And, you know, that's really important to me. I was just at a panel discussion, and people were talking about how poverty needs to be an issue. People in politics, Democrats a lot, talk about the middle class and, oh, we're going to do this for the middle class, which is important, don't get me wrong, but there is, especially as the divide gets bigger between those with and those without, there's not enough discussion about poverty. And maybe part of that is because there's a fearfulness of people in office to challenge things, to ruffle any feathers, and you have to do that to address those big systemic issues.
I agree. And, you know, the other thing, too, that I found to be quite prevalent in our society, in our city, in our state, in our country, is, you know, the consciousness of politics is shifting. And I believe people are tired of just hearing these words that sound so good, that make people believe in something but fall short because they're words without action. People want action. We all know what the problems are in our country. We all know what we struggle with every day, even as city councilmen, to get by day to day. We all know the crisis in our healthcare system. We all know the crisis that and inequities that you find within everyday working people. So what are we going to do about it? You know, stop talking about the problems and start talking about the solutions. Give us action. And I believe that's what the people need. They need action. They want to know that you're not just going to continue having these conversations, these empty conversations, and providing no action.
Yeah, you know, I think that you can't fix problems and provide actions unless you can really see them. And that's why having people not just look at D or R on the ballot, especially in cities or in places where one party controls things, you need to have people who see those problems. Like, if no one on your city council or your county commissioners or your state legislature has experienced poverty, then they're not going to understand poverty, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, this is the other thing, right? Because, you know, I grew up in poverty, and someone once told me, they said, Antonio, you know, I didn't grow up and experience poverty. You know, I grew up privileged. I grew up in an environment that was conducive of my success. And even given those circumstances, I told them that you don't have to grow up in poverty to understand the fight that individuals face every day. You can experience it. You can go out and meet these residents where they are, to understand the circumstances in which they endure every day, right? Because there's a lot of things that many of us haven't experienced that, in a lot of ways, we legislate as city council people. You know, we have to legislate issues we may not truly understand when you really get down to the granular details of the issues. But if we start meeting our communities where they are, if we start to understand and experience with them what they're enduring, I believe it could shift the whole landscape of how we legislate as people. And I don't believe in party politics. I don't understand it. I believe it's just a further divide to keep us separated as people rather than bring us together. You know, Maya Angelou said, we have so much more in common than we do not. You know, and it is so true, because it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. What matters is that we're dealing with real issues that human beings are facing every day, struggling, trying to survive. And when you get to the core of that issue, and you understand the plight of your neighbor, your brother, your sister, then it will allow you to see things from a different lens and a different perspective, to be able to think differently in how you can provide solutions for those issues.
Right, and it's also not possible to see the problems of your brothers and sisters if you don't see those people as your brothers and sisters, right? Like, the best people in politics are the people that come and have that perspective already.
Absolutely.
But you talked about that you didn't want to just talk about policy ideas. You didn't want to just talk about the same thing over and over again that obviously doesn't see people. You want action. And before we got on the podcast, you said you have already been working on some really concrete action. So tell us, because I think it's very exciting, and it's exciting because other cities can replicate what you're doing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you for referencing that piece of legislation. It's really interesting. When I first came onto council, one of the first things I started working on was a loan product that could support credit disadvantaged small businesses within the economic arm of our city. And I remember when I moved to Atlanta about 6.5 years ago, and I started my fashion brand called Level 13. And I was struggling as a young entrepreneur, and I had leveraged my personal credit to sustain my business, and my debt-to-income ratio was super, super high, and it did not provide me access to capital in the traditional manner, like going through a traditional financial institution to secure capital to sustain my business. So I worked with the mayor's office. I worked with Invest Atlanta, which is our economic arm of our city. And I said, listen, we have to change this. And for 60 days, we worked hand in hand and created what is being called now the Community Loan Fund, which is a small business loan product, and it's available to support credit disadvantaged businesses that can borrow up to $50,000. There's a fixed interest rate on the loan fund of 3%. There's a 3-month deferment on the first payment. And what I think is just even more incredible, the loan fund, they can borrow up to $50,000, and they can take up to $30,000 of that fund, and they can apply it to their personal debt that they used to sustain their business. So they can pay down their personal debt while growing and scaling their business. And it's just incredible, because something like that hasn't been done before. And I hope other cities, you know, across this nation, listening to your podcast or researching what we're doing in the city of Atlanta, I hope they take a product like this and adopt it into their city legislation and into their city government and into their economic system, because it's so important right now that we start lifting up our small businesses and providing them access to resources and capital to be able to grow their businesses, because small businesses are the heart of our economy. They hire everyday working people. They boost our economy, you know? And unfortunately, it's the small businesses that are often forgotten about.
Yeah, if you invest in a small business, they're more likely to stay there. If you, nothing against a big company, but I mean, we saw Amazon, if they didn't get all the things they wanted, they were going to go somewhere else.
Absolutely. With no interest in continuing to stay.
Right. And for you, you have a business and you care about Atlanta. So, you know, if you're doing well because you're from there, you're going to care about your community. If you were from, you know, New York or Dallas, you could be like, well, I don't need to be in Atlanta. I'll just go somewhere else.
The incredible thing about this fund is that it provides these small businesses with access to capital to be able to hire from within their community. So, you know, it gives them the opportunity to put folks to work. And, you know, and we need more of that. We need opportunities that consist of a workforce development component. You know, people need jobs out here. People are struggling to survive. And we need to start addressing that.
And so you were able to bring in your experience as a businessman to say this is how it could work. And I imagine, again, it's not just a Democrat-Republican thing. You were able to say, this is my perspective. This is what I can see could work. And so someone else may agree with you on every issue, may vote the same way if they were given the opportunity, but they might not have the same idea to put this into action.
Absolutely. And, you know, I believe that's also something, you know, a different perspective that I probably bring to city council is the fact that I've experienced so much adversity through launching my small business, growing up in poverty for most of my life, you know, being homeless. You know, these experiences have truly shaped my perspective, but have also opened my mind to solutions. Solutions that could provide opportunities to our community and our residents.
So that's why we need more perspective. And I think when people talk about diversity, especially when you talk about it in the media, they just talk about things like race or gender or sexuality or where you're from. But it's about having a very wide basis of diversity, because you could have an all-female council, and that's great, but they could all be from different places and different things, so their experiences and their perspectives could be diverse, even if they do all look the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, our council is pretty diverse. Our city council is made up of different people, different backgrounds, different racial demographics, and we've all, you know, we've all had different experiences that have shaped who we are as a person, that has contributed to us being able to address the needs of our community.
So you're able to bring different experiences. We know why you ran. And so what were some of the challenges, though? I think people who are from outside politics, as you were, look at these things and say, I don't think I could get it done. I think running for office is too hard. I think, you know, having a family and working and being in office is too hard. I don't know how to manage these things. So it sounds really daunting. What were some of the challenges that you came up with, faced with, and how did you address those challenges?
You know, I laughed because I was probably faced with more challenges than most making the decision to run for an elected position. And it's interesting because I tell people every day, I really felt like, you know, the entire establishment of politics was running against me. I was someone that was unknown. I was someone that within the political circle, they had no idea who I was, you know? And many people were afraid of that. I believe that they wasn't sure where my political will lied, and if it was in conjunction to the fact that I was a successful entrepreneur that they had never met before, you know. And it's funny because I was speaking about this to a friend. I really feel like politics exists in this bubble, and if you are not inside of this bubble, then to most politicians, you're nobody. You don't exist in their world. And what I realized is that, you know, there are many great people in this city, in this state, in this country that would make amazing politicians. And I was able to defy the odds against me and run. And I went through hell and back to be elected into this office. I mean, I was taken to court. I was in court for a week where they tried to overturn the election. I wasn't able to campaign during the election, during the runoff period of the election. So there were so many roadblocks that were placed before me to hinder me from running, but I held tight to my faith in God, and I continued to press forward because I realized that me running was greater than my own individual struggles, that this position, this opportunity was about the people. It was about the people being able to provide opportunity for people that have struggled in the darkness for so long and were looking for change. And, you know, that's what I was able to position myself in a place where I could tell my story, where I could relate to the struggles of our residents, our communities, our city, and be able to provide real solutions and ideas. And someone that wasn't tied to the establishment, someone that wasn't bought and paid for by these political interest groups, someone that wasn't bought and paid for by our corporations, just an individual that truly wanted to affect change, because I understood what it was like to struggle in these areas that many of our residents struggle in every day, like poverty and lack of resources and access to capital and mental health and assistance. So I knew that by at least me being a voice for these people could bring and some sense of change to how we did things, some sense of change to how business as usual in this city.
And so thankfully, most people who want to run for office will not face nearly as many obstacles, though some might.
Well, I don't know, because this was my first experience in politics, right? And I feel if you're going to enter into this space, then you have to be prepared for whatever's thrown at you. And I think, in order for you to be prepared, you have to understand who you are and why you're doing what you're doing, and if that aligns with your faith and your action to move this forward to be successful and be elected. Because all of that's important, because you never know. You know, politics is a nasty game, and there really are no real rules. People can say and do whatever they want.
Well, we've learned that lately, right?
Right.
You think that things will all, like, the rule breakers will be, held to account, but if the rule breakers end up become the rule enforcers, then, it's all anarchy at that point when it comes to the standards of politics.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
So how do you, you talk about your faith, and that's very good and important to everyone's life, depending on what they have, but how do you prepare for that kind of onslaught in politics? Like, do you find some people that help you? Do you find, like, are there friends or there resources you go to be like, well, when this happens, this is what I'm going to do? Or, that's something that people are afraid of. Like, how do you manage to come into that with your shields up, prepared, and also not just being overly defensive?
I think you have to know who you are, right? Because, you're going to always battle this in the arena of politics. You know, this is a common denominator found within this area of politics. It can be extremely negative. So you have to understand who you are and why you're doing what you're doing, right? Because if you don't, then the moment that this happens, it doesn't matter who's around you or who you can bounce ideas off of, the moment that it happens and you are not sure of why you're doing what you're doing, or you're not rooted in your faith in God, or rooted in your faith in your ability to be successful in doing what you're doing, then you're going to always be deterred. You know, you're going to always fall short when it comes to following your dreams and aspirations. So you have to first be rooted in who, what, and why you are doing what you're doing.
Right. I think it's very important, and especially when you're talking about issues like coming from poverty or coming from business background like you have with both those things, you're going to succeed in politics if you are rooted in who you are, because if you are, you don't have to worry about pretending.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when people do decide to say things about you, when they do decide to attack your character, when they do decide to try to throw your past at you and try to, you know, discredit everything you've worked so hard to build, you still have your foundation to fall on. Your foundation in which has allowed you to become rooted in the reason of why you're doing what you're doing. So you will look at it differently, and you will understand that those moments have only shaped you into becoming who you're meant to be. And because of that, they will not break you, but make you stronger. And they will ignite a fire within you to continue to propel forward. You know, what I've been through in this race to get to being a city councilman, I wish on no one, right? But the reality is, in this arena, it is bound to happen, especially when people are fighting for power. Because that's really what politics is. Politics is a fight for power. And when you're entrenched in this fight for power to be able to shape the lives of your constituents or your community or your city or your state, the reality is people are willing to do whatever they need to hold on to that power or to take that power from you. So if you're rooted in who you are as a person, if you're rooted in who you are within your spirit, within your internal being, and you know why you're doing what you're doing, and you understand that the real power is within you, then it doesn't matter what people say or what people do, because you have the faith to be able to manifest into existence everything that you seek.
That's very important. I totally agree. And to that point, people have a lot of power and they can choose to use it to run for office, right? So why, the most important thing is here, it's called the You Should Run podcast. Why should people seek power and run for office?
Well, you know, because I believe that there are good people in this world that are not doing it necessarily for the title or the power of doing it or any sense of fame that may come from doing it, but they're doing it because they really care. You know, they genuinely care about their communities. They genuinely care and want to make a difference. I believe that's why people should run. People should run because they know within their heart, within every ounce of their being, that it's what they should be doing and what God has called them to do.
I think that every person who runs should kind of take that reflection in themselves, talk to the people around them and find out, you know, if they had power, how would they use it? And if they think they would use it better than the person currently in power, then they should run.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad that you ran. I'm glad that you ran in a way that the other Antonio Brown doesn't. I'm more of a fan of you than I am of the other AB, but that's because he left my team. Yeah, so thank you. And what organizations would you recommend? And we talked about the YEO Network, which is important to both of us because you're a young person and we need more young perspectives in politics, correct?
Absolutely.
So what would you recommend people reach out to learn more?
Are you asking which organizations? Or are you asking about me specifically, how they could reach out to learn more about what the work we're doing?
Both.
Yeah, so I think YEL is an amazing organization that is truly grooming young elected officials to see this political landscape, this environment differently, and not being afraid to challenge the status quo and not be afraid to be a progressive leader. I think the organization is phenomenal. I'm speaking at the conference that's coming up August 1st through the 4th. So I hope people can come out and listen and learn and grow. within their individual positions. But outside of that, I for me, I find a lot of my peace in books. I read a lot. And, I would always encourage folks to read and to understand and to learn new things. Because if reading can become a powerful tool in the art of politics.
Reading is power. I appreciate it. And that's what we're talking about here is using power. So all that in mind, please look up what Antonio Brown is doing to, bring light to some of the great things happening in Atlanta, Georgia. And I think everyone should try and go there. I really would love to get down there again. Maybe when my kids are a little bit older and they're, it's easier to leave them somewhere than it is now. So thank you. Thank you, Antonio, for joining the podcast, and good luck with what you're doing in Atlanta.
Thank you so much.
And I look forward to sharing about that success and learning more about it and sharing those ideas with cities like ours across the country.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
All right. If anyone's listening, still make sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or whatever format you use. Listen to some past podcast episodes. And if you have a guest in mind, email me. In the contacts at TonyHeil, TonyHeil at gmail.com. And let me know who you'd like to hear on the podcast, or maybe you want to be a guest yourself. Thank you so much, Antonio, and have a great one.
You do the same, Tony. Thank you.